We're going to be discussing today blood moons. There's a lot of people with questions about it, and the idea is it's just not supposed to be difficult. But when I start studying it, it involves NASA. It involves the Jewish, knowing the Jewish high holidays. It knows that you have to know certain words that are unusual. The one that tripped me up was Moed. Just means fixed date, like a birthday is a Moed. But a Moed is a fixed date of God. We are in a time of a fixed date of God. I got this prepared for sharing the print, and Friday morning the Lord woke me up, and he was very, very clear to give you four scriptures, because this is important that you look at this blood moon event with the right position. If you are looking at if you're making the connection that the blood moons are going to be the end of the world, some people make that connection, or there's going to be something major happen, with a fear attitude, you have missed God's point. God, and these are the four scriptures the Lord asked me to give you, and he asked me to give it to you with some weight behind it. If it is the end of the world, if there is going to be the skies open and everything opened up, and poured out, this is what God wants us to know. In 2 Timothy 1 and 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. No matter what happens around us, we're supposed to be the people that the world can go to. We're supposed to be the stable ones, because we have a God that cares for us. 1 John 4:4, you are the children. You are of God, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. John 5:19, and Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, that Son will do also in like manner. Sometimes you look at a problem and we go, that's too big for me. I don't know how to handle that. Or I can't deal with that amount of volume of stuff coming at me. The Lord said, Jesus said, I can't do it by myself. Jesus tapped into the strength of the Father. So greater is he who's within us, we're supposed to tap into the Father. Lastly, John 14:12. Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. So not only are we supposed to be not afraid and the voice of reason, we're supposed to be doing the works of Jesus. He has a pretty good testimony of some pretty neat stuff that he's done. So we're supposed to be doing greater. And when I was meditating on this, it kind of illuminated inside of me. One of the things you have to realize is that the blood moon events are going to occur, but they're going to be occurring on the Feast of Passover. Remember what the Feast of Passover was? The Feast of Passover? When the Hebrews were watching the total judgment of the Egyptian nation, but they were protected in the land of Goshen. They were able to be protected because they honored God by having a lamb. We have a lamb as Christians called Jesus. And the second feast that a lot of these dates will coincide with, Sukkot, it's also called the Feast of Booths, or the Feast of the Tabernacle. That's evolved down into basically a feast, the Jewish high holiday feast for a harvest. So we have a Passover, and we have a harvest event going on with the blood moon. Well, that's my intro. Any questions so far? So when you're going to explain the blood moons, I figured what I would do is, because it can be complicated, I would go back to the basics. And a blood moon, or what sometimes is called a hunter moon, is a moon that has it actually glows red. It only happens during a total eclipse of the total lunar eclipse. And the first diagram, which you can see in there, is the moon travels into the shadow of the Earth. It becomes completely blocked from the light of the sun, of the direct light from the sun. What causes the moon to appear reddish is because when the light of the sun goes through our Earth's atmosphere, and it only occurs because we have an atmosphere, it actually gets bent, gets refracted. So if you look on the second page at the top, you see the light actually swings around the Earth. So it swings around the Earth and heads towards the moon. I use the analogy of a curveball going over a home plate. It's actually on a sideward trajectory. When it does that, the light of the sun gets filtered. The atmosphere will actually strip out of the sun all the light but the red. So when you have a blue Christmas tree light, it's actually the opposite is going on. When you have a blue light, it's because all the other light is stripped out. They don't make blue, they remove all the other colors. So as the light goes around the Earth and bends and heads towards the moon, the light being stripped down to just red means there's only red light left to hit the moon's surface and bounce back to Earth. That's why it appears red. Now, if you didn't have the atmosphere, you're not going to get the bending, and you're not going to get the stripping out of the different lights. At the top of the third page, you can actually see a full moon to full moon event. And you can see as the moon darkens down, because it starts to go into the shade, the red light appears. But it only appears while the white light is blocked from the sun. So then we hear the term blood moon tetrad. Well, what's a tetrad? It's just a group of four, or a series of four. And when we start talking about the blood moon tetrads, lunar eclipses are somewhat common. But this is not true for total eclipses. And if you look at the tetrads, it's an event that happens over a two-year period of time. It's typically spring and fall, and we actually, by definition, it includes a solar event somewhere in the middle. So why are we paying attention to this now? And the buzz very simply is, for the past 5,000 years, we've had 3,500 roughly total eclipses. So less than one a year. But of these 3,500 eclipses, we've had only 142 tetrads. So that becomes quite a rare event. Now you take these uncommon blood moon events and you add to them that they coincide with the Jewish high holidays. And it's not in my notes, but we use the Gregorian calendar here, and that calendar started about 1500. The Jewish people don't use that. The Gregorian is just the solar calendar. It's based on what the movements of the sun are. The Jewish one keep theirs towards the moon and the sun events. So their dates will move around a little bit. On this particular blood moon tetrad, which is going to start soon, it hits the Feast of Passover, and you're going to see the next page. Oh, it's two pages. It's going to be in the Passovers and the Feast of Tabernacles. Let's go back to how rare is this event. We've had 8 total, including the one that's coming, blood moon tetrads that have coincided with the Jewish high holiday. 8 in 2,000 years. That's something you might want to pay attention to. And why do we care that it's the moon doing this for us? Genesis 1, 14 to 16. And God said, "Let there be light in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day and the night, and let there be for signs and tokens." Right at the beginning of our age, God has said, "Well, I'm going to give you a sun, and it's going to be for signs I'm going to give you a moon, and it's going to be for tokens. So we are to look to the sky for different events. Remember when Jesus was, his presence on earth was announced by a solar event, or they don't know if it was a star, if it was a comet or whatever, but there was a Star of David. And that happened for 2 years. And the wise men came and saw that event. So they were also looking for signs. Remember I said to you not to have fear when you're looking at this? Well, look at the sky, have a heads up, look what the scripture says and say, God, what am I supposed to do with this? What is my purpose in seeing that sign? That's going to be personal for each one of us. We're all going to have a different mission because God's going to do something different for every one of us. But there's also going to be something that unfolds that we don't want to miss. You know, if you look at when Jesus was here, some of the Pharisees knew who he was and honored him. And others didn't have such a good reaction. You know, the story of the bridesmaids where, you know, some were ready, some weren't. You want to be the ones that are ready. So the heads-up sign towards the sky, something is going on, pay attention to that. So what I'm going to just do is go into a little bit more of the details of what on these dates. On April 15th is going to be the first of the series of four. And we're going to be able to see that best here in the North American hemisphere. The next one's going to occur in the fall, October 8th. And that's going to be more of a southern exposure. Next year, on April 4th, we'll have another total eclipse. And on September 28th. I found a pictorial chart here that actually, to me, explains things very well. You see the two Passovers. But then you see, on March 20th, 2015, a total eclipse of the sun. And there's also a partial one on September 23rd, 2015. The solar events for the sun also occur on Jewish high holidays or important dates. And the important dates are the Jewish New Year and the Shittite year. Shittite is the group of seven that the Lord's calendar works. Remember the year of Jubilee and all those events? They're all based on seven. That's a Shittite year. So the Shittite is the first of the group of seven. Now, Joel 2, 29 to 31. And even upon the men servants and upon the maiden servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit. And I will show them signs and wonders in the heaven and on the earth, and blood and fire and columns of smoke. The sun shall be turned darkness, and the moon to blood, before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. I put a note on here, NASA didn't name the solar event, or the moon event, a blood moon. Joel did. He's the first I've seen recorded on that. You see more scriptures here, some in Luke, some in Acts, some in Mark. And they're all telling you to look up and get ready. Something's going to happen. Now, I kind of scooted past this in the past, but the eight tetrads that happened the last 2,000 years, if we go back one, that was when the attack on the seven Arab nations attacked Israel, and Israel not only defeated those seven nations in 6 days, that all swore they would wipe Israel from the face of the earth. They also recaptured Jerusalem. That coincided with the blood moon event. The one that happened just before that was during the time that the Israelis gained back their homeland. Tel Aviv area. John will give you better details on that. So that's a blood moon tetrad event. The time before that was when the Jews were actually treated very similar to the way the Nazis treated them back in 1492. And what some people don't realize is the money that funded Columbus's event to find the new land was stolen from the Jews. They were stripped it out of the Jews' wealth. So these are events that have happened over the last 500 years. So what can we go, expect looking forward? I don't know either, but it's exciting. I'm going to read Mark 13, 23 to 25. But look to yourself and be on guard, for I have told you everything beforehand. In those days, after the affliction and oppression and distress of the tribulation, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will be falling from the sky and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming on clouds of great kingly power and glory, majesty and splendor. Remember, I started with this. The Lord said, tell them, if you're seeing this with fear, you're missing the point. Can you imagine the day, the excitement it would be for us when we see the Lord coming back on his horse, triumph? This will end all the nonsense we have to deal with on a daily basis and allow us to go move from glory to glory, like Gary said at the beginning. So in the days of the Lord, we have already seen in the last 6,000 years, 2,000 years of chaos, that's before the law happened, 2,000 years under the law, and we have seen 2,000 years of grace, or since the cross. And what I'm pointing to you is, this is, the signs are right and the time is right for the coming of the Lord. Am I telling you it's the coming of the Lord? No, I'm not. Because this is a personal thing between you and God, and he's not telling me or anybody else other than giving you hints and clues. So that's my interpretation of the blood moon events. What's going to happen? Something's going to happen. Something good, I expect. And I've also added in here some notes for you. When I did this, it was complicated. So the words that I stumbled over, I throw in the bottom here for some technical terms. And then I also added some websites and suggestions for you to actually study this further. I've given you maybe 2% of the information that I've uncovered. There's more here if you wish to have it. So, something's going to happen. I keep going back to that because it's so big in my heart. This is an exciting time for us. We get to be on the ringside seat of something that they've been waiting for thousands of years. But in the garden, when Satan heard his future, and he will crush, he'll bruise his heel by crushing you. This is what we get to see now, the deliverance of man. So anyway, I thank you for your time. I hope that doesn't confuse you, and I pray that the Lord will give you insight and understanding for that.